Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
There's something happening here. Well, it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me you got to beware. There's something happening, man. There's something happening. I'm kind of overwhelmed right now. I know Polly Heath is overwhelmed as well. She's really kind of helping me put together these plans for going to Washington, D.C. There, folks, there's an awakening. There's an awakening. One of the things that we're going to have to do is try to figure out how we are going to direct this energy, because, man, there's a lot of great energy. A lot of great energy. We're running into what I see really as two issues, maybe even more than two. But number one is there's no real leadership yet. We haven't pulled this thing together into any type of organized effort. And I believe the Lord's doing that. I believe the Lord's going to raise up the leaders that we need and that we have to have. And the second issue is the great awakening that's going on. I'd say this. A lot of the great awakening is going on outside the church. Still, again, it's outside the church. And if those of you who follow me for any length of time, follow the show for any length of time. Don't follow me. Please don't follow me. For any length of time, know that I've said that this real pushback that we're going to see in America is going to come from the NASCAR crowd. By the NASCAR crowd, I've always meant the good old boys, the coon hunters and the deer hunters. And the guys who do enjoy NASCAR, and the guys who have a they're maybe not born again, but they have a sense of morality. Listen, this is going to sound awful. It's a sense of morality, not hinged up to, or not, that's not the right word. It's a sense of morality, not chained down by modern evangelifishism. You guys know what I'm talking about? They have deep inside them an innate sense of right and wrong. And given the opportunity, most men want to do what's right. Most men want to do things that are heroic for their families, for their communities. That's why men would enlist in the war. That's why when 9-1-1 hit, everybody was power of pride. Remember that? And all those flags, because they hate injustice. We all hate injustice. And that's what we're seeing. But see, one of the things that's really hindering us right now is the leadership of this movement should be coming from the church, and it isn't coming from the church. So we have these men who are, in particular, some women out there who are unrestrained by the Holy Spirit. They're unrestrained by the Holy Spirit, and that can become dangerous. But the other side of that is they're not evangelifishized, if you know what I'm talking about. They're not nicer than Jesus, right? They don't see themselves. They don't spend all their time going around and nitpicking with other Christians about their language and you didn't say that right. You didn't represent the Lord. They're not restricted by these phony, soft, man-made. What's the word I'm looking to? Help me out here, Lord. Virtue signaling Christianity. And it goes back to when I was coaching football. I shared this with you many times. I was coaching at a Christian school, and I would hear our principal, or I would hear our athletic director, or I hear a teacher say to the boys when we're getting ready to go play football, we're getting on the bus, and they say, well, act like Christians. I said, dang, don't act like it. The hell you mean act like a Christian? It's like a vitamin. B1. Vitamin B1. B1. Be a Christian. See, we don't even know what that means. We don't even know what it means. Well, love our enemies. Do good, though, to those. See, the folks, listen. Those are all personal issues. I refuse to love the enemies of the cross. I refuse to love Christ's enemies. I refuse to. Now, I'll try to love my enemies. I'll do the best I can to love my enemies, but I will not love the enemies of the cross. And see, that's what we've been trained to do. And so you see by the millions of Americans looking around, they see what's going on and see their country's being destroyed. And they go to the church. My jump off verse today, I'm ahead of myself. I was going to do some announcements, but bear with me a second. Double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It's unstable in all of his ways. Let him not expect anything from God. It's what the scripture says. So what does that mean? Well, I think he will, and I think he won't. I think he will, and I think he won't. I think he will, I think we'll win, I think we'll lose. I think we'll lose, I think we win. I think we win, I think we lose. And I said yesterday on the after show, I think it was, our problem is we love to fall back into the fallback position and say, well, God's in control. Don't worry about it. God's in control. We win in the end. Now, folks, I want you to ask yourself if there's any other aspect or area of your life where your failure is approved because God's in control. Right? God's in control. Yeah, but you're losing your business. Yeah, God's in control. What? We win in the end. What? Can you imagine? I can't even tell you the number of times during the middle of a football game that I was coaching that it looked like we might lose. It looked like we might lose. And if I ever said to the kids, called timeout, got them all around me, said, boys, listen, we win in the end because we were more honorable and we didn't cuss at anybody and we didn't throw anything and we didn't argue. So we win in the end. Hey, can somebody yell BS for me? Would somebody out there yell BS for me?
Foolishness, complete foolishness, coach.
It's only in Christianity that we do that. Only in Christianity. We lose our will. It's the Lord's will. Lord's in control. We win in the end. It's an excuse for failure. Now, listen, don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear that. The Lord is in control, but he doesn't control everything. Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't think the Lord's sitting behind a keyboard. I don't think he's got a mouse directing my life. I don't think he's doing that. I think he has all ultimate power. He can pull the plug if he wants to. He can supernaturally intervene. He can come in and be a webmaster. He can come in and change some things. But for the most part, he's got this thing plugged in and it's running. And
amen.
And the reason we are in the mess that we are in is because we as Christians have accepted defeat as the plan of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Boys, that is a bullseye like I never hit. We're in the mess we're in because we've accepted defeat as the plan of God. Somebody say it again. I need the encouragement this morning.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. It's not God's will for men to marry men. I'm sorry. It isn't God's will. And not only is it not their will for men to marry men, it's not God's will that the church would approve of it. So the church would silently approve of that behavior. That is not the will of God. It's not the will of God that 60 million unborn babies are being aborted, still being aborted today. We talked about yesterday. People said, well, coach, we have to repent of our sins. Well, listen, the only true repentance is not only do you stop it, but you turn. And you don't. In other words, if you're having a pornography problem, you just don't say, Lord, I'm sorry about the pornography. You break the freaking computer so that you don't do it again. That's real remorse. That's real repentance. And see, we will not do the heavy lifting required to put the meat on our repentance. Somebody say amen. You don't have to. I just know from the Holy Ghost when I'm hitting
amen.
It.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm hitting it right now. I'm hitting it right now. I'm hitting it, right? And so what do? As they line us up and make us take vaccines and shove, that's the Lord's, it's what the Bible says will happen. Look right there, coach, right there. It says, well, we might as well not resist it because right there, it says right there. It says right there.
You know, I think the Jesus did tell us to resist. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If so, you're not resisting him, you deserve the mess he brings to you.
Well, Larry, not only that, Larry, do I have an obligation to protect you? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I to love my neighbor? If I know that taking a vaccine is going to kill you, am I supposed to stand by and say, oh, well, Larry will die in the end. Larry, to die is to gain, Lord. Larry, you'll be all right. Larry, you'll be in heaven soon.
Is that our attitude? If that was our attitude, then why are we going around making everybody take the vaccine so that all of us can die, so all of us can get to glory and honor? Do you see our confused thinking? You see how we think? And you know what? Our enemy doesn't think that way. Our enemy says, I'm going right now. I'm going to spike the football right now. Not only am I going to make those people put on masks, I'm going to jam poison right in their arms, and I'm going to have the pastors be the ones say to do it. That's what I'm going to do. That's what the devil's saying. Oh, well, hey, I'll get stabbed in the end. So what the Bible says will happen right here. But it won't be here. See, it's going to be in my forehead. It'll be a mark. Do you see where we are? The church, do you see? The only opposition to evil has become complicit, has become the promoter of. We are no longer restraining. With the restrainer, when the restrainer is removed, see, I believe that's me and you. I believe it's the Holy Spirit inside of me that is the restrainer. And all this mess that we've gone all around us is only going on because why? We win in the end. We win.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The line in the sand gets moved. You know you're working with a charlatan. If the line in the sand gets moved, something happened.
Well, Jack, and that's, I guess maybe that's a good way of saying what I'm trying to say, because that's exactly what we are doing. How could we ever repent for abortion and continue to allow it to go on? So I'm gonna pause just a minute. Can somebody explain that one to me? How we can say, I'm sorry, and let it keep going. I'm waiting. Oh, I know how. We get more Republicans in. Especially those pro-life ones, those conservatives. Hey, you know what I want to do? You know, I want to go to, when we're in Washington, D.C., I want to go in and I want to do a roll call. I want to somehow get into where they all are, all 535 of them. Yeah, I know there's 435 in one branch, 100 in the other. I want to get in there. I said, tell me, I want to do a roll call right now. I want to see how many of you will stand up and declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Not how many of you are conservatives. I ain't worried about your voting record. I don't want to care about any of that stuff. I'd like to see right now how many of you will stand up and stop identifying yourself as a conservative and say, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you
Amen. Something. Right there. That's it.
There wouldn't be very many standing.
Amen. I'm standing.
And you know what else has happened? Because of that, they've convinced you, Ohio Brett, that you're a conservative. But you're not a conservative. You're a Christian. And so they water it down. Well, I'm a conservative too, and I'm a conservative. Yeah, Lindsey Graham's a conservative. Lindsey Graham's a conservative, right? And so we fall in a line with voting conservative Republicans. Now I serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine a Christian party? Do you understand we would win every election? But we can't, because one of our candidates maybe did something bad in the past, right? He's not pure enough for us. He says dirty words, right? You with me, folks? You understand the difference between being a Christian and acting like one? We got a lot of people, like a lot of actors, don't we? We're going to go to Washington, D.C. and next week, I can't believe this. We have over 60 already signed up. Over 60. It's amazing. Now, I'm going to give you a couple more days, maybe till Friday, to register. And then after that, you're on your own. We have a block of rooms. If you're interested in knowing whether, see, I have trouble, folks. We have a lot of trolls. So sometimes it's hard for us to keep a secret. And I'm not trying to keep a secret, but when I announce it here, it's, the whole world knows it, right? And so we have right now, I think Polly has registered, I think it's 30 rooms. I think we have reserved 30 rooms. And if you're part of our team and you go online at Coach Dave Live and you register online for $65, listen, your room is free. You don't have to get your room. We've got it for you. And so then we can all be together and we can eat as a group and fellowship as a group and tell lies together as a group and act like Christians as a group. We can do that. Because part of the fun of gone is being able to fellowship with one another. So some of you, I'm just trying to help me out here. Like I got a couple people coming from
I think it's Michigan. No, it's Illinois. And they want to swing by Ohio and follow us. I said, yeah, that's great. I see got people coming down from up in northern Pennsylvania. They want to come down to Ohio, right? Well, no, well, let's get a meeting point where we can all carpool together in. Let's go as a team. Let's go as an army, dare we say it, right? So, folks, please, if you want to do it on your own, go ahead. But Polly's put a lot of work in hotel rooms and all that stuff. Put a lot of work in on it. And we got it all set up. And we'll just have to, if we have to, we'll get more rooms. And it's going to be a good time. Say, Coach, what are we going to do? I really don't know yet. I don't know. But I'm excited so many of you want to come. So trying to carpool, trying to match you up as well, the best we can together. And the sooner you get registered, the easier it is for us to put an information list together, who's where and where they're coming from and where they're going to sleep and all that. So if you're going to go, please, you know, if you're pondering it, you don't know if you can do it, sign up anyway. And then if you can't do it, just donate the $65. Let somebody else go in your place, okay? Questions at all about any of that rant I've been on? I just it's all over me. It's all over me.
All hey, over Coach.
Me. Listen, sorry, Larry, just a second. When we leave Washington D.C., abortion ought to be illegal. You know we can make that happen, don't you? You know we can do that, right? We'll just pray. I'll pray about it, brother. Hey, listen, we win in the end. Jesus is in control. Jesus is so much in control that he's letting millions of babies die a week. That's how much in control Jesus is. He's going to sit to you and say, hey, Ohio Brett, I told you to do it. Huh? I left out of that place. I said, all power is given unto me, both heaven and earth. Go there. You go and do it, will you? Will you go do it for me? Will you go be an ambassador for me? This isn't hard to figure out. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you started the show off. You asked, well, what are we going to do this next year, this coming year? How are we going to do this? How are we going to get it done? Well, I think Jim is doing a great example of what's happening, that small groups at the local level can make small changes and small changes lead to bigger changes. So that's where we can all start. That's where we can begin, is becoming and joining or starting or leading, somehow get involved in a small group of people, very locally, maybe zip code or something, but get involved in a small group of people where you're at and start making small changes. And then to get even better at it, you start coordinating those small groups with each other. And then you coordinate those little bit larger groups with each other. And you work up the chain. We're not going to fix this country from Washington, D.C. That ain't going to happen. We're going to have to do like it was ruined from the bottom up. You know, those representatives and senators, they didn't learn how to be corrupt when they got to Washington, D.C. They learned how to be corrupt on their way up the ladder.
Amen, Larry. I'm with you on that. So, hey, build your downline. You know what we've been saying a long time? Build your downline. We at some point got to plug in and get together. Man, I got a lot to share with you today. I want to go here real quick. Because I spoke about this, maybe it was in the after show yesterday, but I like to focus on, I like to mix, as you guys know, biblical things with cultural things. Listen, if I wanted to just study the Bible all day, I'd become a monk. I don't want to do that. I want to read one or two verses of the Bible and then go execute them. Right? Right? Hi, Brett, huh? Strong safety blitz. You know what you're supposed to do. You don't need to read the rest of the playbook. You know what you're supposed to do on that one. Go, just go do that one. Come back, we'll huddle up, and then go do that one.
I'm gonna go blow up that fullback and contain the ball carrier.
It's very simple, isn't it? Right. Take him out low if you have to. Create a pile. Right. This is not hard. This is not hard. But if we sit back and we see the whole picture and we want to control the whole picture, just do your job. Just do what's right in front of you. Do what you can do today. And eventually, we're going to get somewhere in this thing. So I was talking yesterday, same issue, okay? I'm not trying to step on anybody's eschatology, but frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, okay? This is an eschatology-free zone. My point that I made yesterday, I think I was off the air when I made it, is you cannot think that we win in the end and lose now. That is not how it works. Anybody who ever played sports knows that is not how. You know what? We build a lot of character when we lose. See, that was the fallback position as a losing football coach. We'd say, well, we're just building a lot of character. We're just building a lot of ups and downs in life, and, you know, losing is part of it, and we're just building character. No, no, you can build character by winning. Did you know that? Did you know you can build character by winning as well? You don't have to lose to build character, right? It's the lie. It's the lie of the church. The lie of the church is we will not flex the muscles that God gave us. We will not flex our Holy Ghost muscles and make a difference right here where we live, right here, right now. We won't do it. Especially at what I see is the word confluence. Might go to Webster's. I forgot his name already. I'm going to say Shelton. That's not right. Is it? Go to confluence. Just click on the one. Click on the one I gave you.
Spencer.
I got it. I locked in there. Confluence. C-O-N-F-U. You'll get it. Fluence. This is what's going on. Hey, Craig. I was thinking about you, Craig. I was thinking about you the other day. Because I'm going to tell you something. The party doesn't begin till everybody gets there. The game doesn't start till everybody's all 11 are on the field. Referee doesn't blow the whistle to start the game till all 11 are out there. And some of you get to the field early, and some of you have been out there practicing and working out more than others, but there are others who are coming to the game. They're not quite there yet. Some of the great leaders that we have aren't awake yet, or they're not in position where they can lead yet. They're not there yet. And so what's going on all around us right now is the board that I put up there is a confluence. See, we want it done. If you're a type A guy at all, and you don't want to just win in the end, huh? I want to win now. Right? Then confluence is hard for me. It's hard for me. Because I want to get him right now. I want to go get him right now. But the wise man, a wise coach, would say, wait a minute, can't go yet. We're not all here yet. Coach, we're not all here yet. Say, I don't care, man. Let's grab a rock and let's go get a sling and let's go get something. Say, no, just hang on. They're not all here yet. There are more that are coming. That's a confluence, folks. And Craig, I was thinking about you. Because, excuse me, the confluence have gone on. What's happening in the heavenlies? Right? Crazy things going on with the moon, the planets, the Christmas star, and new moons and full moons and purple moons and red moons and green moons, all kinds of things going on. And the sun and the tilt of the earth and the magnetic pole shift. Craig, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of things that are going on right now. And you know what? Not everything is in place yet. Not everything is strategically in place yet. But there's a confluence, which says a flowing together, a meeting or junction. Like when we're going to go to Washington, D.C., and I'm trying to bring 75 people together. There's a confluence. They're coming from a lot of different directions. And at some point, we're all going to be there. But we're not going to move forward till everybody gets there. Hey, has anybody seen Joe? No, he's not here yet. Okay, hang on, folks. We're going to wait a little bit longer because Joe's not here yet. We need Joe. We're waiting on Joe. There's a confluence. And if we get out ahead, if we outkick our coverage, that's a football term, if the punter punts the ball farther than his guys can run with the ball, he's outkicked his coverage. The guy at the return man's going to advance the ball pretty long way because he kicked it too far. We got to be careful not to do that. We can't outkick our coverage. It's a conjunction of two or more streams of water or other fluid. A place of meeting is a confluence of the Tigris and the Frat and the Ohio and the Mississippi. The running together of people, the act of meeting and crowding in one place, a crowd, a concourse. The latter word is more generally used. A collection, a meeting, an assembly. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approach. Am I doing okay here? Can't you see it? See, there are guys who are going to be in this war that aren't here yet. They may not even be awake yet. It won't take them long for that alarm to go off and them to get it, but they're not there yet. And we need them, specific people. And some of us, I'm going to say it. Okay, Lord, I'll say it. Some of you need help out of your religious trap. Some of you've been believing that same stuff for so long. Stick your head up like an old groundhog and sniff around and say, maybe that's not exactly right. Maybe my Baptist pastor wasn't right on that one. Maybe my Lutheran minister, maybe he didn't get it, right? You with me? What a time and an age of confluence and revealing like we have never, ever experienced, I believe, in the history of the world. It's happening right now. We're in the middle of it. Now, we cannot have paralysis by analysis, meaning you don't hit somebody because you don't know who to hit. I've had that happen. Watch a lot of game film where a guy didn't block somebody. I said, when you block him? He said, I didn't know who to block, coach. I was confused. I didn't know whether I was supposed to get the linebacker or the nose. I didn't know which one I'd get. And what would I say? Hey, dude, hit somebody. Hit somebody. And so there's a lot of guys that have a real urge. They want to hit somebody. We get this. Hey, you got to wait on the confluence here. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. Somebody come on in. Boy, that was a 25-minute rant. Come on
in. Hey, coach.
Yeah.
The thing of this you were just talking about, and I thought about this, is you're going on about meeting up, going in together. That parking lot in the hotel, just picture 80 to 100 men loading that train. All of us on that train heading down into D.C. And the new guys that are with us, they'll never forget that. Going in, just packing that train full. It'll be
Listen, great. We're bringing a Coach Dave Live shirt for everybody. Now, some of you have your own shirts. Wear them. If you don't have one, we're going to bring you one. And then you can either buy it at the end of the day for $20 or give it back to us. But we're going to have everybody in uniform so we stay together, so we look like a team, so we move in unison, and everybody knows who we are, what we're about. And see, it's not about Coach Dave, because even though it says it on the shirt, it's not about that. Everybody will see what's going on. And it'll give us an identity. I'm excited about it, Jeff. I'm excited. I'm excited about it. Yes. Cool. Okay. Let me go to something else. It really bothered me. Shut up, coach. Craig's got his hand in the air. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, coach, just one thing, maybe, you know, cause this, I think we're referencing a conversation we had and I was brought up by me initiating, but if we could bring up Jonah, chapter 3, verse 4-10, I think it's going to wrap the whole thing up. I think we're saying the same thing. I think we're coming at it at different angles.
Yep.
And one of the things also is I would also call it convergence, okay? And some of the things that I'm trying to bring out, that at least is in my spirit about it, and I was listening to some of the people on the show, and I get great insight from listening to everybody. And one of the things that I like to do is I don't want to necessarily be and just put my hand in my back on everyone that agrees with what I agree with or think that I would agree with, because I have to thrash these things out in my mind, because the truth is more important than whether I'm right or someone else is right. Amen. So this is a great tool for me to grow. And I'm very glad to be a part of it. But one of the things is I think people aren't going to just wake up in America and go like, gee, I could have had a V8. You know, they're not going to come to the Lord, you know, and from what all I see in my studies is God's going to pull the rug under everything. And we know there's something getting ready to happen, and we got to be in the place to help facilitate that, but also be in the place to be able to minister these people, to explain it to them, to show them to the Lord, to bring them to the Lord and say, these are why the things are happening. And if we want to find grace and mercy in the Lord, these are the things we're going to have to do. So if you look at that story in Jonah, that's page 2 of it, if you read those verses. And I think
where is it, Craig? Because
it's in Jonah chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. And what my point yesterday was seeing is my view on this is seeing not just as small groups of us, I'm saying as a country, you know, as a preponderance, 50, 60, 70% of people in this country are doing what this is saying here. Then I see God's mercies moving our country back to where we need to be.
So where did you want me to begin reading, Craig?
Just read 4 through 10.
Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. Now, Hey, we got to teach Spencer. I don't do sissy Bibles, Mike. Help Spencer right now. We don't do sissy Bibles here. I'm going to talk about that in a minute too. Okay, hang on. So let's get there. We go. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, "Yet 40 days, and they still haven't ended abortion." It's been 40 days. They still haven't done it. They're still killing babies. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They did what? Wait a minute. The people of Nineveh believed God? And proclaimed a fast. Put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he got up from his throne, and laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. The king did. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king. See, this is why we need to have a resurgence of Christianity, not conservatism. By the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And I'll be darned. God saw their works that they had turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. He didn't do it. It's pretty profound, isn't it, folks? You do look. Are y'all looking at me? You know, this used to be a Christian nation. You know, this used to be a nation where Christian values were absolutely promoted everywhere that you went. That you walked into the schoolhouse, the Ten Commandments were on the wall. You walked into the courthouse and the Ten Commandments were on the wall. You walked into the church house and the Ten Commandments were on the wall. You walked into your house and the Ten Commandments were on the refrigerator. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm telling the truth. And those who
and did, it was blessed.
And those who did not follow the Ten Commandments were punished and rejected. Right? They were. They were punished and rejected. And now we like to go around and we say, well, if we just repent. Well, so folks, I'm going to tell you. We cannot repent without repentance, without reformation and restoration. It just isn't going to happen. Personal repentance is one thing. I can personally repent for something I've done, and the blood of Jesus covers me. The repentance of a nation is something entirely different. And you can't say, Lord, I'm sorry about the murder of all those babies. Oh, Lord, please forgive us. Oh, the church has been so asleep. Lord, I was so sorry. Oh, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, heal their land. Oh, years, Lord. Well, you say, yes. By the way, if you're so sorry, have you stopped the abortions yet? You mean you're so sorry you're letting them continue? You mean you're so sorry you're allowing a marriage, men marrying men in the sanctuary, and you're so sorry about it, and you let that get, you see where I am? Come on in, Randy.
Coach, you said it right off. It's when the people believe God. That's what turns it, Coach. That's what turned the leadership first. That's what turned the king. And it shows me too, Coach, that if repentance absolutely can change God's mind and his judgment for them. Those that don't repent, no, they don't get. They're not part of this. But the ones that truly repent, and this is the answer, Coach. This is the word, repent. This is when we go to Washington, Coach. Our message is to those leaders is only one word: repent.
Amen. Amen.
Of evil, of all their evil, repent.
Okay. Listen, I got you all on the big screen here. I want you to raise your hand now, Raise your hand if your tax dollars have not gone to killing babies. Go ahead and let me see. Go ahead and raise your hand now if you haven't contributed to the slaughter of unborn babies.
Not in 20 years, Coach. Not one dime. Not in 20 years.
God bless you, Jack. You get my point, though, right, Jack? We can't say, yeah. Lord, we're sorry, but they're the ones doing it. No, friends. No. They're taking your money, and they're doing it. Hey, friends.
But it's only a nickel, Coach.
They're taking your money and they're teaching transgenderism in your schools. They're taking your money and you're doing it. You say, well, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm sorry. Boy, if we could just get President Trump to repent, if we could just get him to repent, we would be there, wouldn't we? No. It's you. It's you and me. See? It's you and me. And we don't want to make the hard decision, the uncomfortable decision, because every one of those decisions requires risk. Are you with me?
But isn't that, Coach, isn't that right? God winks because it's only a nickel. If it was a dollar, he might be mad, and it might be a sin. But it's not a sin if God winks at a nickel.
Well, no, Jack, no. It's not that, see. He's not mad because he told us to pay our taxes in Romans 13. So he's not.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so he's not mad. He's not mad because we're just obeying one law and not disobeying.
Is that the Nuremberg defense? The Nuremberg defense? I'm sorry.
Y'all with me, right? I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but I hope I am. Because ultimately, that's where this thing's heading. And we can argue and argue all we want to about the budget, how much money they're spending in the budget, giving it to other countries. Folks, it's just money laundering. They're taking our money, they're sending it to other places, they're laundering the money, and it's coming back into the pockets of the elite. And how long are we going to continue to think that the government's going to step in and give us $2,000 and now everything's okay? Well, I'm not talking about you personally. Nobody ever asked the question, where are they getting the $2,000? Where are they getting those $2,000? Oh, they're giving me back my tax dollars? Oh, well, that's real nice of them, right? You see what's going on? And because the compliant church is permitting all this to happen, we are the ones who are most responsible for it, in my opinion. My opinion. Let it be known that we pay our taxes under duress. But every day that goes by, I feel more guilty about it. Every day that goes by, I feel more guilty that they take the dollars of Christians and kill babies with it and ruin young kids, poison the minds of young kids. Every day it bothers me. Am I going to be able to look at the Lord and say, hey, Lord, listen, I was just paying my taxes. And my pastor told me I had to. I was just trying to do what was right.
Can we go back and read Davy Crockett's letter? It's really simple. Not theirs to give.
It doesn't end well. Come on in, Silver.
You were talking earlier about the assemblage of the House and the Senate. You know, I think now if you're really offended by abortion, close your ears. But I think we need to really take an aborted full-term baby and make every person in that damn room lick it. Okay, let's see how they enjoy their freedom, because we're going to bar the doors until everybody does it.
I mean, make them own it, huh, Joe? Make them own it. Make them own it. This sound radical stuff, folks. It is radical. It is.
The sad thing about what Joe just brought up is the people in the United States have been so conditioned that they would think that we, if we forced them to do that, were so many times more horrible than the people that killed that little innocent baby.
Yeah, because we know better. We know better, right? Hey, we're loaning money to China. Huh? We're loaning money to China.
Yeah, Larry, but they make the laws. They can outlaw abortion. I don't care what the people think in general terms. Amen. They make the laws. They got to see the fruit of it.
They do. I'm with you, Joe. Come on in, Dale.
Absolutely.
Well, Coach, you know, and I know, we have seen in person these aborted babies in these caskets. And we have seen people who have seen those babies in aborted caskets absolutely, not only after seeing, turn a blind eye and do nothing, say nothing, act like nothing. This is what they have done. This is the darkened heart of mankind. These two sins that are running, this is not about an American thing. I'm just being honest with you, Coach. My wife and I have had this conversation. It don't matter who the heck or helicopter is sitting in the White House. I, as a Christian, should never be changed, moved, or shaken, no matter, because Jesus is and always been on the throne. Abortion is a world issue, and homosexuality, this is why it's not a win in the end. The only one who wins in the end is God, not us. When the Lord, the captain of the host, looked at Joshua, and Joshua said, whose side are you on? That's what the church plays with God right now. And the Lord looked at him and said, neither. for I am the captain and the Lord of hosts.
I'm on my own side, he said. I'm on my own side, right? Right? Well, hey, listen, I don't want to keep beating this horse. We get it. I want to move to something else I think is critically important as well. Spencer, I go down there. Go where it says Bible translations, different versions. I really got on this kick yesterday. I know this. People don't know the word. People cannot quote the word. Some can, but most people can't. And part of the problem that we have is we have so many different interpretations of the word. Scroll down here. Listen, I'm a King James guy. I'm not a King James only guy. I'm not a Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and King James. I'm not one of those guys, okay? I'm not. But when I memorize the word, I memorize the King James version, okay? I can quote it. There's a rhythm to it. I can quote it. And then sometimes I come around some other guy, and he's quoting the NIV. And it takes me a while, and I think, wait a minute. He's quoting that's the Bible he's quoting, isn't it? But I don't even recognize it because it's a different language. I get it. It's a modern language, right? One we can more easily understand. Really? Really? Scroll down, Mike, Spencer, scroll down. Keep on going. This is some Wikipedia. Take it whatever you want. Keep on going, Spence. Keep on going. Here we come. Keep going. All right, here we go. Here's complete versions of the Bible over on the side. Are you looking at them? American Standard. Hey, Spencer, just kind of scroll down. Amplified, an American translation. Berkeley Version, Bible in Living English. Bishop's Bible, Children's King James Version. Christian Community Bible, Christian Standard Bible. Clear Word Bible, Common English Bible. Complete Jewish Bible, complete English Version. Concordant Literal Version. Coverdale Bible, CTS New Catholic Bible, the Darby Bible, the Divine New King James Bible, the Doug Rames Bible, the Douay Realms Bible, the Easy English Bible, Easy to Read Version, the Emphasized Bible, the English Standard Version, the English Standard Version Catholic Edition. Do you see? Do you get it, folks? Do you see what they've done to us? Do you see what they've done to us? That's why I hate to come here on this show or go into a Bible study and everybody's got a different version. And they say, well, Coach, I just understand the New Living Translation. Well, good. But we're reading different stories. This doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I'm not a purist. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a purist. But friends, these do not say the same thing. Okay, so hang on a minute. Go, if you can, to Hebrews 11. I got it up there for you, Spencer. Hebrews 11. Oh, no. Yeah, go ahead. So here's Hebrews 11, and you can see right there in the King James Version. I'm not going to argue about it, who interpreted it and whether the Catholics did this to it and did that. I'm not even going to talk. But, okay, forget all that. The New Living Translation is based off the King James. The new American Standard is based off the King. Okay. Spencer, I heard you, Lord, twice. Thank you. Say, Spencer, go to Webster's Dictionary Translation. I want you guys to see this real quickly here. So a translation, the New King James Translation. Translation is the act of removing or conveying from one place to another. A translation, the removal of a bishop, the act of turning into another language. That's a translation. A translation is a word-by-word translation from one language into another, the exact word-for-word translation. Okay? But see, we don't have translations. What is it we have? We have interpretations. Go to that word for me there, Spencer. Put an interpretation. Is the American Standard a translation or an interpretation? Because those words matter. Those words matter.
A version. Or version, Coach.
Or version, right? So an interpretation is the act of interpreting explanation of unintelligible words in a language. Huh? What? The act of expounding or unfolding what is not understood. So the one interpreting it tells you what it says. They tell you what it says. Not the Holy Spirit. They tell you.
Yeah, but Dave, I like that book, that thing called The Message. It's
easy.
It's so easy to read, and I don't have to spend a lot of time. I can just kind of read the message and understand it real quickly, and I don't have to invest any time in studying a word or studying a sentence. That message is the way to go.
How do you memorize it? How do you memorize the message and me memorize the King James and they even sound the same? See, it says right here, the interpretation is someone trying to explain to you what it says. It's like when you go to, these guys go to foreign countries and they preach and they have an interpreter. The interpreter isn't giving you word by word. He's just kind of giving you the overall version of what the guy said. It's an interpretation. You just need enough to be able to, I don't want to beat this dead horse, but I'm going to show you something here. Go back where we were to Hebrews 1, right there, back to the Bible gateway. Okay, now let's just read maybe four verses of this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we all know this. As Larry and others have proven many a time, we could do a study just on substance. Just on substance. What does that mean? It's a substance of things. It's evidence. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand the works of worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than the Cain, by which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, and God testifying his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Okay, well, let's slide back down there, Sheldon. No, Sheldon, Spencer. I got Sheldon in my head. Let's go to another version. It's easy. Go back up the top. Yeah, Spencer, let's change from that King James. Let's go to the Jubilee. That'd be a good one. Let's go to the Jubilee Bible. Let's see what it says. Faith, therefore, is the substance of things waited for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. This one's pretty clean. Let's go to the NIV. What's the NIV say? Or some other one. New International Version. That would be a good one. It's international and everybody can understand it. Yeah, what's that say? Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, hey, folks, how do you memorize the Bible? Which version do you memorize? It doesn't matter. You say, well, Coach, no, it doesn't really matter because, you know, it speaks to me. Yeah, but we're speaking different languages, see? And I think this has been part of the watering down of the hard gospel. I could find you a lot of other different illustrations. I don't care what Bible you read. I really don't care what Bible you read. But we don't even have, Americans don't even have a unified Bible that we can all turn to and say, this is the word of God. We don't have one. We have a lot of interpretations with it. Let me shut up here because somebody's either mad or oh my, I don't know which. Anybody? Because I'm going to go on.
Yeah, Coach, I'd just like to add in one thing that a long time after I first turned my life over to Jesus, I kind of had the idea that all versions of the Bible were good, that, you know, which the Holy Spirit can use any of them.
They sure can. They can, Larry. I agree with that.
But then I kind of had a little bit of extra affinity or likeness for the Amplified Bible because I thought that was trying to take all the versions and make them all available to kind of see what they said differently or slightly differently and stuff like that. But then when I learned that the Amplified Bible was one woman's interpretation of what the whole thing said, just mm-hmm. that one woman, nobody else in council with her, I said, man, this Amplified is one of the worst ones out there.
Because listen, folks, an interpretation is somebody's opinion of what they just read. You understand that? I like the King James Bible because the Lord, the Holy Spirit interprets it for me. Okay, go ahead, Jack.
One of the things that I always liked in church growing up was the unison reading. We would read in unison.
Yes.
And you know what you do right now if you do that? You have the Tower of Babel. Because everybody's reading out of a different version. You can't follow along. It makes no sense. It's totally garbled. I don't care which one you use necessarily, but yes, there needs to be a standard.
How many of you folks who've been watching this show for 4 years or whatever, remember the days when I would say, would somebody read from the Bible and Roger would pull out that sissy Bible? Raise your hand if you remember that, right? Roger would pull out that sissy Bible. I say, stop. Stop it already. Don't bring that mess in here.
Oh, the good old days. The good old days when that sissy Bible was allowed.
Yep. So listen, I sometimes... You'll find this amazing. I sometimes read the Message Bible because it does get, you know, there's something to it. It puts it in everyday language. But folks, the Message Bible isn't the Word of God. I don't think it is. So the same people that said that God said it, I believe it, that settles it, read different Bibles. Different translations. Yes.
Yeah, forgive me if I missed it and you covered this. But you know, the difference between the New International Version on Hebrews 11:1 here and the King James, Hebrews 11, and the New International Version says faith is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
The King James says faith is substance. Now, you can reach out and touch something that has substance. You can feel it. You can see it. You can drop it on the floor and hear it hit. But confidence, there's two totally different meanings of those words. So one of them is wrong.
How about this one, folks? You know what we've seen? The Supreme Court. We see different translations of the Constitution, don't we? Huh? Yes or no? Say, wow, Coach, never thought of that. Yeah, we've got off of the standard. We've moved. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So we've moved off of the foundations of the Bible into a lot of 50 different interpretations of the Bible. And now we got 9 judges with 9 different interpretations of what the Constitution says. See what's happened? And so they call those Scalia and Clarence Thomas, they were originalists. In other words, they were King James only Constitution guys. You get it? And then they come along with a new standard interpretation of the Constitution. And that's how you get Elena Kagan, and you see what's going on. Do you see how these foundations that were so critical, they've been torn down, folks? They've been torn down. And I'm not here to criticize other versions of the Bible. That's not that Lord can speak to you through any Bible. But when I almost leave a church if I walk into it and the pastor's reading from a NIV or Amplify, I about leave. I can't believe it. You with me? I'm trying hard not to be a legalist. Trying really, really hard. Come on, Silver.
Coach, being a legalist is okay. That's all right. but it, within the NIV, when NIV first came out, it was a translation from Greek and Hebrew. Okay? There was a whole bunch of scholars involved. And I have that one. However, I use King James primarily. But between the original and what is available today, there have been several revisions to make this a nice new world order.
Sort of like the Constitution, huh, Joe?
Kind of like it. But
come on
but
in,
they
Alan.
Changed words. They got rid of sexism.
Yep.
No, all that kind of stuff. So I don't even use it. I just
change the word.
You go to Daniel. There's a lot of verses you could have an issue with in different versions. Go to Daniel 3:25. You know, it's where Nebuchadnezzar's watching the three Hebrew boys. He just threw them in the fire. And he says, man, I see a fourth guy walking around in there. Yeah. One that is like the Son of God. And if you go to different translations, boy, they really sling it sideways. And then 1 Samuel 28:13. Where King Saul is bowing down to that witch, and that witch sees, I see gods, little g, plural, ascending up out of the earth. You go to different translations, it says all kind of crazy stuff. So that's just two scriptures, that especially Daniel 3:25. If it don't say Son of God, I ain't messing with it.
Amen. So, folks, do you understand? Yeah.
I ask often, What this is a Christian country and this was founded on the Bible. What Bible would they have brought with them? And it wasn't the King James. They didn't like him. He was a bad dude. That they used the Geneva 1599.
Mm-hmm. I got you. And listen, again, folks, I'm not trying to be legalistic, but I'm just trying to get you to see that we're trying to live, we're living in a Christian world, and we're not even using the same, we're not even hearing the same word. Not really, we're not. Not really.
Coach.
Hang on. Jeff Klein's got his hand up.
Coach, think about the slippery slope you're just talking about. And how many people do you run across and they start coming to church? You just start sharing with them and they say, well, which Bible do I read? I don't know which one to read. But the other night I told Mary Jane we're watching a commercial. And most, a lot of them don't read their Bibles anymore. They've just gotten clear away from it. But now you got a commercial for $39. You can get Glitter Teeth, Joel Osteen's little box, to give you inspirational message. I told Mary Jane, I said, well, you don't need the Bible no more. Just listen to Joel.
That's right. Joe Allen, come in.
Coach, it's the same thing with our Constitution and our laws. We all, there's amendments to it.
Yep.
Just like our Bible.
Right. See what's happening? If the foundation, Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? See, we're doubling back around. Be right with you, Dale. We're doubling back around because we're heading to Washington, D.C., where the foundations have been destroyed. You get that, don't you? We're in a mess in America today because the foundations of the land have been changed. The church started with all these different versions, different interpretations, different translations. And then we look what's going on in the court system. The law doesn't even mean it. Jesus isn't even welcome in the law anymore, right? And so we're trying to follow a law. And we got pastors who are confused and who don't understand. People perish for a lack of knowledge. And they're teaching us things out of a Bible that doesn't really say what the original Bible said. Whether the original Bible was right or not, somebody changed the original one into their opinion. So now we're reading somebody else's translation, interpretation of what the original one said. And I don't know, should we be reading the Geneva? I'm not going to get into the argument. I'm trying to help you to see how the enemy infiltrates and changes everything. He's changed the meaning of the family. He's changed. I mean, come on, folks. It's everywhere, right? Changed the meaning of. We had a country where there was no taxation, no income tax up until what, Jack? 1913? No income tax, none. And look what's happened over the last 100 years. As now the churches are telling us we have to pay income tax, right?
Hey, so Coach,
change the words as you change the world. Yeah, Jack.
Right. Yeah. General welfare. Or specific welfare.
Amen.
See?
Yeah, so we're preamble said that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote for the general welfare. See, we've got those mixed around. We now provide the general welfare. And we promote the common defense. We got them backwards. They've interpreted those words differently. Now we provide welfare when we were supposed to promote it. And we promote defense when they were supposed to provide it. Change the words, change the world. And it's happening. It happened in our churches first.
Coach, if I may.
Go.
Yeah. Brother, this is, you know, it is the eye in which we are seeing it through, because, you know, I'm not going to debate about translations. I don't use any of the translations you've shared. I do sometimes use the King James. But the fact of the matter, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had the original Hebrew in front of them, yet they could not see the Son of God. But the devils recognized Jesus wherever he came on the scene, because it is the Spirit that gives us the revelation of life. Amen. And okay, so now I'm going to compare this also, because people want to use even the Geneva. Okay, my question then would be, what version did Paul get saved on? What version did Peter get saved on? Now, the fact of the matter, when we look at our Constitution and the spirit in which it was written, this is the thing. We're looking at it with a pharisaical eye, the interpretation and the way we want to apply it, but not in the spirit in which it was originally orchestrated from. Amen. We are not seeing it like the Pharisees, because when we look at it through the eye of the Spirit, then it will bring life.
So, Dale, we know this, don't we? That the right to kill a baby was not found in the Constitution, but in the penumbras.
Yes.
Right? somebody's made up version interpretation of what it said. And isn't it amazing that we are living in America today under the penumbras of the Constitution? Things that they tell us it says that it doesn't say. Wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. It's now the law. You have to wear a mask. You have to social distance. Those are penumbras of the law. Those are the color of the law. Those aren't really the law. So I want to make sure you all understand this as we close out. I'm not a legalist as far as by I'm really not. I'm really not. But if we are all going to memorize the Bible, write the Bible on our heart, what version are we writing on our heart? Which one? Seems petty, but I think it's important. Why? Because the Bible says right here that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let him not expect anything from God. And as soon as man gets involved in that Bible and tells you what he thinks it says, you become double-minded. America's double-minded. Our courts are double-minded. Our government's double-minded. There is no right to kill a baby. They just tell us there is. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.